Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the podcast where we try and solve unsolved crimes and drink amazing cocktails. With me as always is Chris.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Not missing the adjective.
No, I can just let
Chris stand by itself. I should clarify, it's not always crimes, Masood.
Unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because it isn't a crime.
Yes.
Oh, see. Good.
Of course. And the second voice you're hearing is the amazing Suze Kempner.
It's me, yeah.
Hello.
Good.
How are you?
Yes, all right, if I'm good.
Good. Yeah, you're good. Good.
Feel pretty good about the bread and olives we've got in front of us.
Oh, yes. Today I thought
Suze has been ill for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. I'm like on, this is the first few days where I haven't had to take masses of painkillers.
Yay.
So I think we should all be very pleased.
Which means you can get back on it.
Yeah. not that you stopped, to be
no,
fair.
No, I did. I drank my way through it.
Yeah. I think I might have been part of the reason it's prolonged.
Because they say if you drink enough, you can destroy a bug. Mm. It's like, no, you can keep it alive.
No, you keep it alive. Yeah. It feeds off of the alcohol. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but.
Yeah, I was preserving it in alcohol.
It's, hang on, who's
oh, wait, oh, my second, word. Someone at the.
Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Is that old Jess Foskey?
I think that's old Jess Foskey.
I meant that in a pleasant way. I meant that in a really nice way. Jesus.
She's peering in. She's got a headscarf on.
I meant that as a...
I think that she's wishing she didn't have an adjective.
It's a...
Hello.
Is that absolutely brilliant? Very, very young Jess Foskey.
Young,
oh my God, how
young
youthful.
AF.
How
youthful.
Young AF,
she's
Jess
really
Foskey.
Young. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, so well. Thanks
Good.
For having me.
Thanks for coming.
Smells nice in here. Smells of booze.
Yeah, that's a bar.
Well, let's make you a drink. Let's whip something up for
Ooh,
you.
Ooh, what is this? So quick. Thanks.
This
what is it?
This is a Dolomenco number one.
Dolomenco number one.
Don't which is named it? After Ooh. The famous hotel/restaurant that opened in the 19th century. And this is one of their...
Where?
In New York.
Where was it? What road?
It was sort of like a world famous, one of those restaurants that like had, you know, like Baked Alaska and Lobster Thermidor, or that kind of place.
Swanky Pants.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
when
yeah.
They
so
did,
it was a pioneering restaurant.
Yeah, one of them.
Do you remember when Heston Blumenthal redesigned Little Chef?
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, yes. He had...
Masood, this drink is strong.
It's this is why we have the bread and olives. This is a pretty heavy hitter, this one. This is
what's in it?
Caramba.
We got Poncho. Gin, we got brandy, we got both the vermouth sweet and...
Yeah,
that's four so far.
And then we've got some bitters on top of that.
Oh, no Cointreau. Well. Okay.
No Cointreau. But it does have a kind of Cointreau feel
Where's
to it.
Where's the colour come from?
That comes from the brandy. The brandy and the sweet vermouth.
It's beautiful. It's like a rusty orange.
Mm. This is like, and this feels
or
like
brown.
Those,
some people call that brown.
Brown. It's a brown cocktail, isn't it?
This brown drink's lovely.
I'll have one of them brown ones.
I'm going to describe my hair as rusty orange.
It's just kind of like a rusty orange. It's
burnt tangerine.
You put that on the, like, when you're going for an audition. Burnt tangerine. It's brown.
I could. Brown.
It's bloody delish.
It's lovely.
It's warming.
I would drink this on Christmas.
It is a festive drink. Yeah. This is the sort of thing I drink on Christmas morning. While my mum was saying, oh, it'd be nice if you helped. And I'd point at the drink. You know, when you point at the drink and go, all but.
Yeah. It's just that I've got this.
Yeah. Do you like one, mum? And then I make her a drink instead of helping.
I think that counts as helping.
Yeah, definitely.
Not what happens after she's had it.
Or you say, would you like one? You said, yeah, and then you get her to make it, and then get her to make you another one at the same time.
Does she ever threaten to do Christmas where she won't do anything?
No.
All right.
No, never. She sort of whinges about it a lot, and then on the day is kind of like, she's all over that kitchen, and then talks about how the kitchen's too small for two people. So it's her own fault. Should have had a richer nan. It's at my nan's house.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Christmas. I thought you were just like, I don't
at least I'll be with Bernard.
That was my dad's mum. She had a massive kitchen.
Oh, what? How yeah.
The wrong nan died.
Anyway, this is one of those, yeah, like old-timey drinks that are just like these.
I ruined it. Sorry.
All right. It's fine.
Sorry.
Oh, no. That was
that was very fun.
Yeah.
So, well, someone's gotta steer the ship. What have you got for us, Chris?
Today's the Mercy Brown incident. You know the Mercy Brown incident? Mm. Oh, I should say the Mercy Rusty Orange.
Yeah. This is what this drink should be called. The Mercy Brown incident.
I thought you said mostly brown. I know it's Mercy, but
that's
Mercy,
a very different incident. That's a nervous comedian.
Yeah, it's day one of the Fringe.
Mostly brown incident. So the Mercy Brown incident.
The Mercy Brown incident involves a woman named Mercy Brown. Unsurprisingly, do you know the Mercy Brown incident?
No. I know very few incidents. Yeah, I'm quite easy to shock.
I think this is in my top five incidents.
Really? Yeah. What's your number one?
I didn't think it through.
I also want to know what doesn't make the top five.
Well, I imagine.
What's 6 to 10?
I imagine that there are more than 10 incidents. So
the world.
You would have a top 10.
Yeah.
I just think this, as it's known as the Mercy Brown incident,
okay, yeah,
it'd definitely be up there.
Email in if you have a favourite incident and see if it makes Chris's top.
What's your favourite incident, Jess?
Stipulation.
Oh, God.
It has to be called the something something incident.
What if I call it that?
Yeah.
If I call it that, is all right?
Yeah.
No, I think it has to be like well known enough. Like if you search for it,
yeah,
you have to put incident
It'll
in it.
It'll be on number one of Google.
Yeah, like that's yeah.
Page one. That's my number one incident going on Google.
Number one incident.
It actually has a fuller name. Which is the Mercy Brown Vampire incident.
Oh, keep that little
spoilers.
Gem.
Yeah.
We just threw that in there.
I love it.
Yeah, it could be known as either, but I just figured like if I started with the Mercy Brown Vampire incident and then started calling it the Mercy Brown incident, it'd sound boring. Mm.
Yeah.
It was the Mercy Brown incident.
I've had a vampire incident.
Have you?
What?
Have you?
What?
Years ago, I was out doing some daytime drinking like this, playing pool with some friends, and we were very drunk. And we decided to have a race up the long escalators at Angel Station on the way home. And I fell into this upwards escalator, but was so drunk I didn't feel it and just carried on running. And I woke up in the middle of the night and my leg was all swollen where like it got infected by this gross skanky escalator edge that had gone into my knee.
Yeah.
And I had to go to like hospital and get get it injected with antibiotics. Sorry, turns out it's a really gross incident. But the why it's a vampire
it's
incident
made it into
is
my top
because
10.
Because they were a bit like, oh, you got a swollen knee, get out of busy hospital on a weekend night, and you smell of booze. It's just like today.
You didn't have to say that last bit.
Now, I haven't looked for a long time, but for probably a good sort of 7 years afterwards, I had a scar on my knee that looked really, where the two prongs of escalator had gone in, it really looked like... Like a vampire had accidentally got me in the knee and it had mistaken my knee for my neck. Like, and I have got quite a big neck.
And, like a trainee vampire.
You know, in the context of my legs, a relatively small knee.
Yeah.
So it could have happened, actually. Or like a visually impaired vampire. Maybe my knee smells of necks. But yeah, I mean, it was what I said to people how I'd done it.
How you got
it,
vampire.
Yeah, fell on a vampire's
face.
That's
crazy.
The Mercy Brown thing happened, and then people started looking back, and then it was like, oh, and this happened before, and this happened.
Oh, okay, right.
But even when Mercy Brown died, it was still known as the vampire capital of America. Because I think it's where the vampire government is based.
Oh, the vampire government.
Mm.
Right,
and
I
that's
see.
What makes it the capital.
It makes sense, yeah.
Shut up.
That's where Dracula... the vampire capital. They all vote in and... Yeah.
But both of you, stop this.
it kind of like captured the world's imagination. Mm. Even Bram Stoker heard about it. And then when he wrote Dracula, based a character on Mercy Brown.
Wow. Oh, so this is pre... Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah, because vampires hadn't really...
been a thing.
What? Taken off.
Yeah, they hadn't. They hadn't really permeated as a
like a cultural touchstone.
Not really.
So did we have vampire bats? When were they named?
No idea.
They must have been named after. They've got to be named after, surely.
Do you think before they were just called little guys?
But also,
the house is full of little guys. Everybody.
Oh, there's little guys everywhere.
Maybe the vampire bats existed, and then when they had to come up with a name for this type of thing, they took it from the vampire.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Of course.
Chicken and egg, battle vampire.
Yeah. Exactly. And
I'm going to start using that as the terminology from now on. It's a real bat or vampire situation. Yeah. What?
No, never apologize, never explain. Mm.
But the reason this became an incident because Mercy Brown had passed away. She died. Mm-hmm. Along with a lot of her relatives. It was a lot of her family were dying off, and then all of a sudden her brother became very ill and was like wasting away, and they didn't know what it was. Ooh. And then this theory came about that because he said that he was being visited by Mercy, even though she was dead.
Oh my God, it's like Salem's Lot.
He was being visited by Mercy in the night.
Right.
And so the story went around that Mercy was rising from her grave and killing the rest of the family.
Oh.
So this is what they did was they exhumed her because they put so much stock in the in this legend. They exhumed her along with the rest of the family. And the family had decomposed, as you would expect, but she was perfectly preserved.
What?
What?
How? What?
And,
like Lennon.
And she was perfectly
John
preserved.
John Lennon.
And apparently, her hair and fingernails had continued to grow. And
shut up.
you looked angry at that when you said
that. That is anger making.
And apparently, she'd also changed position. She wasn't in the position that she was buried in the coffin.
It's uncomfortable in there.
So that has become the Mercy Brown incident.
Mm. Yeah. So hang on.
And you can go and visit her grave, and it's become like a pilgrimage. I think her arms have
just
moved.
Turned.
I think her arms have moved.
She'd gone.
Right.
She was doing YMCA.
I think it's because she was just taking off on Insta, so she was just trying
out. She was like, I know my angles.
Yeah.
What was the time period between each burial? What was each person's death?
Very, very quickly, I think.
Oh, really?
Sort of like in the space of, I think the first death, when I say very, very quickly, I think the earliest had been, would naturally be more decomposed because it had been 2 years before.
Right, yeah.
But then the others had been like weeks and months.
Okay, because the first one I can imagine being like, but this one's really... Yeah, that was two years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, buried her yesterday.
And how long after they died do they exhume them all?
So they exhumed them, I believe, 3 or 4 months after.
Oh, so not very long.
Not
so
very
this
long.
Legend worked fast.
Yes.
Legends
it
go.
It did. But also, it was one of the, I think it was obviously a superstitious time. Of course it was.
Yes.
And so they were like... And I don't know why they would say... But it proved them right in their brains because they took stock of what little Edward was saying.
Yeah,
that he was being visited by her, and they were like, "Oh, she must be doing it then." Just going, "He's a fucking idiot." And so enough that they dug him up, and then that's when they found.
And it's not easy to exhume bodies. It's not easy at all.
Why not?
Because said that like you know, and I've got a shiver.
Yeah.
I swear it's easy. It's if you've got time,
it's not a shuffle
spade.
And a.
It might have been
a digger
back then, but now it's like you've got to get permission from so many people.
Oh, well, I figured that's true.
But like, I imagine. Back then, they're like, yeah, sure.
No, back then they had the vampire clothes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, they do it immediately. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had to take it to the Vampire Senate, of course. They looked over it, and then there was a bill to be passed.
And this would have gone like that, because this was the vampire capital.
Of course, of course.
And they were like,
"You
can dig up three bodies.
New zero waste initiative from the vampire. Some of these aren't fully drunk. Might still come back. Let's finally have a check.
But the reason I think that they put so much stock in what little Edward was saying was because of those similar legends that go back, and then it becomes this retrospective thing that they look back.
And perhaps little Edward was just a very powerful orator. Charismatic child. Sickly, but very charismatic. Like a baby Trump.
But like, so could manipulate his parents,
yeah,
so well that they were like, well, he never usually makes anything up. So
yeah,
yeah. Terrible at playing on his own. Useless imagination, usually.
So what they did was, because they were like terrified by the fact that they thought they'd been proven right and that Mercy was a vampire, they were like, oh my god, what are we going to do? So they removed the heart. They got a petition to remove the heart and they burnt it to ash.
Yeah.
And then, I don't understand this, but apparently superstition dictated that in order to cure little Edward, what they had to do was they had to mix the ashes of the heart into a paste with something, and then he drank that, and that was supposed to cure him. And he died 2 months later.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
From ashy heart juice. Yeah. You take that to the vampire senate, they're going to tell you they'd be like, that's ridiculous.
But that came from another story, I think, again, Rhode Island, but 100 years beforehand.
That was the cure.
Sarah. What was her name? Hang on, Sarah Tillinghast.
Tillinghast. That was her cure. That was the known cure for vamp. If you got stalked
it was a
vampire.
Very similar thing where they had to exhume her because all of the family were saying when they got ill they were saying I'm being visited by Sarah,
yeah,
and then they would die,
right?
And then someone would say I'm being visited by Sarah, and then they would die. And then
triggered a really harrowing memory of when I was at university. The Athletics General Union or whatever used to every year have like a big party, and it was like notoriously horrid. They go around wrecking other universities and stuff. And they do a
like
thing where everybody, you'd go and watch. Even, I mean, if you'd just ever been on any involved in any sport, you'd go and watch, but it's mainly like the rugby lads sort of running it. But they'd spin this roulette, and you'd, if you, or whatever, you had to do a dare.
Yeah.
But one of the most common dares was you had to drink a pint of cooked but then cooled mixed grill, including offal.
From the
fryer.
Well, they blend
place.
It.
Blend it with Guinness and vodka.
Oh.
And you just watched
Jesus.
Person after person, and you had to down the whole pint of it.
Oh, fucking hell.
And then they'd just puke it straight up.
Of course they would.
No human body could keep that in it.
Yeah. No, that's disgusting.
And it's, you'd think we'd stop doing that. I don't get that shocked about
the ash juice.
The ashy heart.
Drink.
Mind you, it's exactly the sort of thing you can imagine coming in a small vial-sized shot in Pret.
If
this podcast goes as successfully as we want it to.
Yeah.
In there with all the charcoal and turmeric and all the other shit. Does is good.
Yeah, we just. Oh man.
Oh, I'll drink a witch's heart.
It's
exhumed.
What was her name again? It was
vintage.
Mercy Brown, was it?
Mercy.
Yeah.
Have you not heard the word mercy before?
A shot of mercy. There we go. A shot of mercy. There you go. That's the name. A shot of mercy. Pow.
I don't like charcoal toothpaste. I feel like that's definitely bad.
I feel like that's absolute bollocks
as well.
I'm not sure I see the...
I feel like all that's doing is sanding your teeth.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that.
No, absolutely not. I think that's why a lot of people don't use electric toothbrushes, because it does feel a lot like you're sandblasting your teeth with...
People don't use toothbrushes?
No,
electric ones.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Oh, I do as well, but whatever.
I like mine.
Even the Mona Lisa's falling apart, so whatever.
Did you just say... That's why a lot of people don't use electric toothbrushes.
But
and
I
then
use
we've just said...
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know...
I don't think that's a thing. Shut up, Masood.
Fine.
I alternate.
That's
do you?
What? Why?
Here we
Sometimes
go.
You
Here
use a twig go. From the forest.
I use an electric toothbrush at night, and I use a manual tooth... Manual? I use a normal, like a regular...
Analog
toothbrush.
Toothbrush in the day.
In the morning, yeah.
Why?
I don't know, and I think that's why I didn't jump down your throat about the sanding your teeth thing, because it does feel a little bit like that.
Okay,
it doesn't.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This.
I'm into
what
it.
Was the drink called again? The awful drink. Did it have a name?
Oh, it did have a name, but it was just a pint of mixed grill. It might have been called something like a pint of mixed.
A pint of mixed grill.
Pint of mixed grill.
And there was a greasy spoon on site at my university.
That's probably where they just scraped.
And
it's
where they just tipped. And the lady, whenever you went in. Would say, there's always a massive queue, and she'd always say, darling for you, darling for you, darling for you. And they renamed the cafe Darling for You.
Aww.
That's lovely. That's much nicer than the pint of awful story.
Yeah. It's because she drank it and died. they named it after her. So that's... So it doesn't seem like this is too far a stretch, the idea of drinking. Well, it also feels very 1800s or 19th century, where they're like, let's just take the heart and drink it. That sounds like the cure.
But it came from this story that happened 100 years previously.
Yeah.
In 1790 something.
Right.
Where Sarah Tallinghurst
had
apparently haunted her family and come back for them.
Yeah.
And it started because they then exhumed her again, yeah, took out the heart, burnt it to ash, made a little paste,
yeah,
gave that to the mother who was really ill, because she was like, "Ah, the children are calling for me." And so they were like, "Oh my God." So because they thought Sarah Tallinghurst was responsible, they exhumed her, burnt the heart, burnt it to ash, made the thing, gave the mother to drink it, and she got better.
Oh.
So then they were like, that's what you do.
Yeah,
that's, I guess, what you do. Yeah.
Maybe her mother was one of those dragons from that terrible 2000s film, Reign of Fire, where all the dragons eat ash. They burn everything and then they just eat the ash. It's so stupid.
Good for them.
Yeah, they got to eat something, right?
We needed them when... Do you remember when that volcano in Iceland went off?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And no planes could fly during the 2010 election, that was.
Yeah.
And they just needed a dragon.
That's what we
needed.
Carry
on with your mystery. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, so like it wasn't an isolated incident, basically. But the Mercy Brown one was the one that
this was one of many. Okay,
yeah. So then you got to start thinking, oh well, the other stuff, because there's records of this. The other stuff is possibly hearsay.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Oh god.
So you kind of have to write that off.
Oh, so everyone takes this story and goes,
or write
maybe
it into my song.
There is a really creepy one, which is that Nellie Vaughan, who died 3 years prior to Mercy Brown. She was exactly the same age, but I think that's a coincidence. right. Apparently, her grave is cursed because many people claim to have seen the spirit of a young girl over the decades since.
What's it do?
And weirdly, on Nellie's... Okay, so...
It just sits there.
She's hanging about.
She...
hello, I'm cursed.
They're never doing anything that good on
it. Yeah.
They walk through the graveyard.
No, this is actually... This is genuinely quite creepy.
Oh, yeah, go on.
If it happened, which I don't think it did, but...
it did.
She did 5 minutes of really bad stuff.
Yes. Yes, she did, and it was all my material as well.
It is creepy. like Chris's material.
Spooky.
Yeah. So Nellie Vaughan's grave.
There are no punchlines. This is terrifying.
There's stories in that.
God, bloody Armasud, what's going on?
Sometimes he just makes a noise instead of a joke.
It's effective.
He's just doing funny voices.
Actually, you know when sometimes you have these sticky gigs?
Yes.
Where like, this is borderline unplayable.
I don't have that.
The last one of those I did was Jess was at. It was
a
holiday park in Walton on the Naze. Yeah. Our green room was the swimming pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, wait, what? So like an indoor pool or
that
just the outdoor pool?
That gig made me start smoking again.
Really?
Is it?
No, I definitely smoked at it though, just to get at the time.
That was...
It was bad.
Yes.
Was the audience like a shower of bastards?
Worse, the worst sort, actually. Sort of muttered sexist abuse. No proper heckles.
Not to me.
Just horrid. So bad.
It was horrible, wasn't it? Because UMC.
Oh, I had to keep going back on.
Oh, my God, so you had to go, hey, it's me again.
I think it was so bad that I sort of on stage was going, I don't like you and you don't like me. Let's get through it.
Yeah. Let's just get it up.
Do you remember me? Do you remember me saying to them, because obviously it was a certain type of audience at a holiday club, deepest, darkest Essex, right at the other end, wasn't it?
Okay.
And I said to them, because I mentioned that I'd gone back to stay with my mum and dad for a little bit, and I went, well, you wouldn't know that. All your parents are dead. Do you not remember me saying that?
So you got them on
that
side.
That is beautiful. Wow.
It was a deeply unpleasant cred. They don't run that gig there anymore.
That was the last one.
Don't think they do any of those holiday club ones anymore.
It's a weird thing to have, isn't it? A comedy night at one of those holiday clubs. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Just get a tribute band on.
Yeah, because they don't want to watch. They just want to watch something that they all know.
They won't like any comedy.
No.
Might as well just get a big screen and pop ITV on.
Yeah.
Genuinely, if you want people to have a nice time, you'd be like, let's all sit and watch this together.
I heard that as Popeye TV.
Popeye. I am what I am.
It took me a second. I was like, is Popeye TV a thing? Is it like a channel? Oh, right, I get it.
Yeah, they put the screen on, people are like, oh, it goes Popeye, and they go, yeah. Arms above their head.
You're all a bunch of cunts.
Too violent for you to know what that is.
What's that?
You wouldn't have been allowed to watch Popeye, would you? Too
no,
violent.
No,
too violent.
My nan wouldn't have let me.
Oh, God.
She was frightened of thunderstorms as well. What a weird
What,
woman.
Like a whippet?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So what happened was...
Like a tiny doggy.
Like a little skinny whippet.
The thunder would start, and she didn't do this because my mum wouldn't let her, but when my mum was little, she used to take my mum into a cupboard.
Right.
So when my mum was little, and thunderstorms would happen, yeah. She'd take her into the cupboard under the stairs.
With her?
Yes.
Do you think this might have been like a World War II thing, though? Didn't she survive the bombings and whatnot?
Yes, possibly.
But she was scared of Tom and Jerry.
This is also true.
I'd just like to put out that thunderstorms predated World War II.
That's climate true.
That's true.
They weren't like an aftershock effect of Hiroshima.
Makes sense.
Sort of like ricocheted around the planet.
All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. Okay.
But yeah, maybe she did start having... I understand that. Of course I do.
But it is weird.
It's weather.
It's still weird.
It's still weird.
Yeah, it's just weather.
It is just weather.
Dead nan. How long has she been dead?
She's been dead 9 years this year.
That's
She'd
not
be
100. That long.
She'd be 100 this year.
Well, but she's dead.
Oh, you hate...
It keeps coming out.
I can still hear myself, though.
I know, but
that
I'm
was
just,
the
I'm
microphone
just
being
gonna,
dealt with, not me.
Where that is going to come out.
Okay. Well, I wasn't
we'll be able to hear your...
No, that's true.
Awesome input, so... I'm looking out.
I can't remember where we left off.
We got to these other stories. There was another tale of...
Oh, yeah, no, that was it. The creepy thing that she said.
Yeah, what was the creepy thing?
So Nellie Vaughan's grave. There was...
Nellie Vaughan.
There was a couple. Marlene Chatfield, she said that her and her husband were in the cemetery visiting another grave. They were near Nellie's grave one evening, and suddenly out of nowhere...
One evening? Why are people going into the grave to cemeteries at night?
Because they work at day. They work in the day, Masood.
Because...
sorry.
I just... Sorry. You go in the daytime.
Me and Sue's look at the world very differently.
Because they're at work.
We've all done it. We've all gone into a cemetery to have it off. My mum loves this podcast, and I haven't done that.
I went into the cemetery to have a wee, and there was somebody...
Yeah, that's the same.
And there was somebody having a vigil. I didn't realise.
Did you piss on the grave?
The one next to it. But they didn't say anything. It must have been a silent vigil. But once I'd finished, I was very aware of this candle. And I was like, that's weird.
It had gone out. Because you pissed on it.
Pissed it out.
So Marlene Chatfield and her husband were visiting this other grave. And then, despite being the only ones in the graveyard, they heard a female voice just say, "I am perfectly pleasant."
Creepy.
That sounds like a comedian that everyone hates who just walks around saying what a nice person they are all the time.
Yeah.
I'm actually just a really good guy. I don't know. Understand?
I'm really not. I'm perfectly pleasant.
Yeah. I don't know. I consider myself an ally. Get out.
It's me.
I don't know what people's issue is. I'm perfectly pleasant.
I'm perfectly fine. That's terrifying.
That is very scary.
She wasn't a vampire, though. This was just a tale of creepiness.
That was a tale of creepiness, in the same graveyard. And then also this Nellie Vaughan's grave.
Yeah.
The inscription on it reads, "I am waiting and watching you."
Oh, good. Jesus Christ!
Was that something
Nelly
that
Sting?
That Nellie was a prick. Nellie was a prankster and a prick.
Big fan of the fact that Nellie maybe in her will passed down a letter that said, "Somebody in the family, please." Just if you're ever passing the graveyard and there's somebody there, just fuck with them.
Yeah, that'd be so great.
And then the family have kept it going.
Or somebody just—it's somebody's duty as the family just to sit behind the grave and just go, "I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
I'm perfectly."
But the reason I think the reason that Mercy Brown sort of took hold as a thing was because the thing that she might have changed positions when they
exhumed the body,
perfectly preserved her hair and her fingernails kept growing, but they also there was also in her heart and liver there was still fresh blood.
Give me a break.
Well, then she's not dead.
Yeah, she's alive.
Yeah, but vampires don't
have blood.
All of those things.
Yeah.
Because they're dead.
Exactly. Yeah.
She was alive.
She was literally alive.
3 months after being buried.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't think she'd ever been buried. I think she'd been hiding.
And she fell asleep.
She was avoiding a tax demand.
Could she have been on a Romeo and Juliet drug where you go to sleep for a long, long time, but you just need a bit of air, but you don't need feeding and stuff?
That Romeo
and Juliet
drug.
Wake up a few months later
and then your lover's dead, and then you go, oh, shit.
Yeah, this absolutely.
Fucked.
Yeah.
But on the upside, two warring tribes have.
Is this the electrical pattern?
You take the drug, you go to sleep, you wake up, everyone's like, oh my God, that dead person's got a working body. Mm. But Israel-Palestine fixed.
Oh, what a wonderful treat.
Oh, yeah. I'd take one for the team.
Yeah, we need to find this drug. Right.
Should we have another?
Let's have another.
Oh, yeah, another drink, please. Yeah.
Amazing.
It smells, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it smells a little bit like strawberries.
Just a touch.
What is it, please?
What's
this
in here?
Is a bloodhound.
Ooh, I don't like the name. Blended up dog.
Hello.
Yes, it's quite nice. So this is
that's
muddled strawberries, gin, and then both the vermouths. So we've got...
Four.
Yeah, it's... hasn't really got much of a...
I like how we've done both the cocktails as a double vermouther. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, vermouth
the
is...
cocktail below the one you were just... Below this
quadruple
one.
Quadruple vermouth.
It was called a Satan something.
Oh, Satan's whiskers?
Satan's whiskers?
Yeah, that's quite nice.
Satan's pubes.
Satan's pubes. That'll be the Suze modification where she just bungs Cointreau in it.
Hello, lads. It's Satan's pubes. It's a big glass of Cointreau. Enjoy.
Did you put Tabasco in this?
Yes, I did. Drink up.
Drink up. Drink up. Welcome to Suze's bar.
When we had Rachel Fairbairn on, Suze went rogue.
I did. We're lucky it wasn't ruined. Thanks to Jack.
Nice.
That's so the one podcast I have no memory of. Yes. I sort of came back online sitting in the road.
She,
about half five.
She spent 10 minutes talking about her mum's dead friend, Suzanne.
Yes.
Yeah, whose funeral was that week.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, I love it.
I was nice about her, but, probably not the best subject for a comedy podcast.
And she was like, no, actually, I want to hear a word said against her.
No one was fighting with me.
Yeah, no, we were all in agreement.
No one disliked Suzanne. No one was fighting with me.
She seemed like a nice
no,
person.
No, guys. I was like that, apparently.
Very funny.
This is a cocktail so nice. I've eaten the strawberry. I'm going to down the rest.
So it's basically a strawberry martini, but it's really nice.
Right. Yeah, I'm a
really
big fan.
Lovely.
Big fan.
That's very lovely. Nice.
Delicious.
Mm-mm-mm. It's the mix of the two vermouths and the strawberry. They all kind of come together really nicely.
Is strawberry a good ingredient for cocktails?
Yes. Most things are.
Correct.
Correct. Correct. You're correct.
Well done.
It's just that some things you got to be careful with balancing it so they don't kind of overpower stuff.
Yeah.
Things like orange juice can do that. And then and then what else you're mixing it with. So something like vodka can sit in the background of stuff. Which is why, yeah,
my mum.
Hey, your mum is the vodka.
She's very much the vodka of our family. Oh, very good. I'm just over here.
Well, what would you be then if she's the vodka?
She's the fucking
the starlet.
The
orange juice.
The orange juice.
I'm the orange.
You're the orange juice. I thought you were going to say something like the brandy.
What's the really good one?
All of them.
That's my brother.
Sunny delight.
So we left off with the blood in the heart.
Yes. And
yum, yum, yum.
Hence the bloodhound.
Which then made them be like, fucking hell, she's a vampire. Let's kill the heart and feed it to her mum.
Yeah.
Her brother.
Couldn't we just drink the blood? Surely. Oh, but then we'd become vampires ourselves, I suppose.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Anyway, so the blood is in all of the organs or just the heart?
They found it fresh liquid blood in her liver and heart.
Fresh liquid blood. Define fresh like today, fresh like 2 months, like how
no,
long
No, basically the implication is that she was not.
Dead.
She was undead.
She was undead.
So like, so she would leave her grave, go and curse and make her family ill,
yeah,
and then go and lie back down in her grave.
That's funny.
Chris
how
has done an action to go with cursing, which is akin to flicking water in the face of somebody needs to wake up on a train.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Hey, this is Kidderminster. Get off!
Oh, I've been cursed.
You're listening. Oh, to
I,
curse
had a, I caught the.
Perfect. That's the sound of
it. I had a late night. I had to get the last train out of Euston to go home, and there was There was a bloke who'd he'd fallen asleep on his bag, but he'd lay across all of the seats. And no one really around. It was the last train.
Okay.
And I was getting off at Hemel, and there was no one else on the carriage. And I just went, mate, it's Hemel. Mate. And he went, yeah. And I went, where are you getting off? And he went, Milton Keynes. I went, okay, no, it's Hemel. He went, thank you for checking, though.
He's, he's woken up at the end of the line a few times.
But, plot twist, that man was Fred West.
It was only last week. I once had to get the last train out of Euston. Had to get off at Hemel, obviously, which is where I live. But then I fell asleep, ended up at Milton Keynes, and I was like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And then I had to wait 3 hours
for
the next train to come back. And I did,
yeah.
And I fell asleep again.
No, ended up in Euston.
And I ended up back at Euston. I should have just stayed at the party that I'd made my excuses. Oh, I need to get my last train. I should have just stayed at the party.
Whose party?
It was our agent's Christmas party.
You should have stayed.
Yeah, you were there. Yeah, you should have stayed.
I ran.
Did you leave because of Masood?
No, I left because of my last train, Suze.
Many other people left because
it was just you.
It's just me by the end.
That was the
that's why he left.
That was the
everyone had a last train.
That was
very odd.
That was where they flooded the toilets.
Ah, yes.
Why
I
did they do that?
That?
It was by accident, but they're not allowed.
No, it's a Christmas tradition. We we flood the
and
toilets.
And then we flood the toilets.
Hi there, Chris here from Mystery on the Rocks. And if you've listened to an episode before and thought, oh, they're always talking to a guest, I wish I was the guest and had a load of cocktails, why don't you come along to the Bill Murray on the 9th and the 16th of February 2020? Because we're going to be doing a Work in Progress live show, 3 to 4 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Perfect. Perfect. Have a roast afterwards. Soak up all the booze you're going to drink. And come and see how we're going to make this work live. Be the guest. Help us solve a mystery. We don't know what we're going to talk about, but we know it's going to be great. Come along. The Bill Murray, Islington. 9th and 16th of February, 3 to 4 p.m. Get your tickets now. They've already started selling. Angelcomedy.co.uk.
I did a burp during that. So, going to feed her a heart. To a family.
Which is what, yes, they were like, oh my God, it's a vampire. And people are still using the Mercy Brown incident as proof of vampires.
Gotcha.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to.
But no one got bitten.
People just got cursed.
But then that's what happened with the fictional appropriation of vampires.
Basically,
she would. The legend was that she got up, like Sarah Tallinghurst the century before, and cursed her family and killed them.
Right.
From beyond the grave.
It's just that when the actions you're doing for cursing in my head feels very British of just like, no.
When you wake, like when an you wake old up, MP in Parliament going, I say to the man.
When you wake up, you will always be tired. That's the kind of curse I'm feeling.
I mean, listen, think it through, Masood. Yeah. If that was the action for cursing, it's very British.
Yeah.
That's why the British people say it's rude to point.
Yes. Okay, I'm with you.
As protection from curse.
Just in case the point is a curse all along.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
This was passed in Vampire Senate. He's absolutely right. So makes sense. So she should just get. So I didn't know. So the biting thing is inappropriate because I was with Suze on that. It's like, oh, I just thought she wasn't biting any of her
I was
family,
thinking eventually a bite is going to come.
It's really sweet that you were like, well, she wasn't biting anybody, so she couldn't have been a vampire. I put it to you that vampires don't exist anyway.
What if they did? Vampire Senate's going to hear about this. That's for damn sure.
1892. This is very late.
It's quite recent when you think about it.
Yeah.
In the scheme of
when
things.
Did Dracula come out? 1902, something like that?
Yeah, it was like early 20th century.
It's quite... Jack, can you find out for me, please? old Wikipedia over
but,
there.
What Jess was saying isn't far away from my own theory either.
Right.
Yeah.
Or she was asleep. She was just having a nap.
Not far off, no. There are... even on this podcast, we've covered stories where people have been confirmed dead and weren't.
Oh, yeah.
A dead ringer.
Yeah. Is that where it comes from?
Yeah, from when...
yes, you have a bell.
Yeah, there would be a bell because it happens so often.
Oh,
and if you could ring,
really?
if you came to and you'd been buried, yeah.
Wow.
Dead ringer.
That's the most
awful
thing.
So somebody looks
thing.
Just like... That's why they say they're a dead ringer for da-da-da, because it's like, oh, they're...
Oh, yeah. I hate it. I hate it.
I just learned something.
I like how instead of solving the problem, they're like, just give them a bell. Yeah. just put a bell on it. Why don't we train better as doctors and then we could...
Yeah.
So
unbelievable.
We've got all... I bought all these bells, though. I bought all these bells.
So I think maybe she was possibly not dead when she was
right.
buried. There's something else as well, which is...
What, for 2 months?
That might have...
The next thing here is that she was buried in wintry conditions.
Oh,
if she went
froze.
If she went in to the ground while still alive...
Yeah.
Then...
She's been cryogenically frozen.
But the ice... cold also keeps you alive. Like, people have been able to survive for 2 hours on the bottom of a freezing cold lake.
Yeah,
And then brought up and been revived.
So I recently got a lettuce in my veg box that
what a segue.
Had caterpillars in it and living in it and they continued. They went dormant in the fridge, but they were alive when I got it out to wash it.
Oh,
a microcosm! So,
did you let them out and then they went on their way and a Disney film happened?
I flicked them all into the garden and then, but then did wastefully put the lettuce in the food bin. I couldn't bring myself. I'm sure that caterpillars have lived in every lettuce that everyone's ever eaten. Hopefully they have. I'm sure that's what's meant to happen.
Yeah. No, but I see your
point. Once I'd seen it happening, I couldn't eat that lettuce.
Well, you didn't do a full Attenborough when they were like coming back to life and just like kind of narrate them?
No, I spent the whole thing going...
Which I imagine he does between takes anyway.
Do you think that's what Attenborough does? Do you think even when Attenborough's like looking at a penguin mourning its chick, he's going
every now and again? He's like, "Oh, that's quite."
We'll have to do that again, David.
Yeah,
I think actually.
Sorry, I get rich. I
can't stop gipping.
But if you put a body, a dead body, who's already dead, into those wintry conditions and they would freeze, what would happen is, and I looked into this because I wanted to work out whether or not you could freeze a body and then move it so that people would think that it had been killed later and then as an alibi sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Which happens a lot in the things that we investigate.
But if you were to freeze a dead body, it's dead. So when it started to defrost, it would decompose as it defrosted. So what, it'd be like a microwave meal.
Yeah.
Defrost and decompose from the outside, but there'd still be like a block of ice on the inside. Mm. If she went into the ground...
She was rare.
Alive.
She was a rare state.
If she went into the ground alive and was preserved then...
And then died.
She'd die slowly because of the cold.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
so
this bitch.
That's what I think probably happened.
I see.
Right. So she wasn't dead when she went into when she was buried.
As I said that, I read the word blood. I wrote down the word blood.
I believe that's
and
what
I went. I've included that.
That's what they said when they were doing the autopsy. Like, there's blood in there.
This bitch. I've done a DNA test, and it turns out she's 100% maybe recently dead.
She's dead as hell.
Yeah. She's dead as hell.
She's dead as hell.
Yeah.
Because in my head, when you say that, when you say she was buried alive, in my head, I keep thinking, yeah, but maybe she was, it's an elaborate prank that went wrong. Like, she was
maybe
alive.
Maybe
she was
just like, stand Nelly, and she was like, she fucked with people.
Mean, like, if it was a detective novel, it might be something to do with the fact that a criminal had hidden something in her casket and needed it back and needed a reason for them to be exhumed.
Right.
And so came up with this weird thing and stuff.
Oh, look.
Yeah. But then that doesn't really explain the blood in the heart and the...
Unless they put it in.
Being preserved. Yeah, maybe. Everybody gets carried away whenever anything like that happens.
Yeah.
Certainly in 1892, so everyone was like, oh, this happened 100 years ago with Sarah Tallinghurst. It's the same thing again. And
And they probably added details to something that happened in the 1700s.
It's also quite the illness, the mysterious illness that's killing the family.
What was that?
It turns out to be TB, but they didn't know anything about TB then.
Oh, gotcha. Good old consumption.
Really, they didn't really know about TB.
They hadn't seen Moulin Rouge, so they didn't know.
And apparently.
That's how we knew.
How I found out about it.
Living in the Western world, in the 21st century, I've never seen anybody die of TB.
No.
But apparently it is like watching the life get sucked out of them.
Ooh.
Which is what they then thought. It was like, yeah, yeah.
And then
so it kind of works into vampiric legend.
Yeah.
Ah.
Did somebody like, they were chatting away, you know, having a nice family dinner, and somebody coughed like, then they looked into the napkin.
Oh,
and then they saw the
blood
and they're like, no, everything's fine.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't worry, I'll just head to bed. That's all right.
I'm just feeling a little bit under the weather.
Yeah,
I'll be with Bernard soon.
Be with Bernard soon.
I've got lots of friends, haven't I?
Oh, fucking hell.
No.
Nans.
Oh. Sound theory, man.
Yeah. I think it kind of fits.
It does fit.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Jess?
I'm going to stick with it's similar, but I think she's drunk some Juliet juice.
The Juliet juice.
Oh, that's what we should have called this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Juliet juice.
I think she'd drunk something because she's much like that other Nell woman. Bit of a prick, bit of a prankster.
Nellie Vaughan. Yeah.
A distant relative
of Vince Vaughan.
Thinking, my horrible family can all, when they're all, I'll come back later and I'll have. I'll have everything. I'll be the only one left. I'll be loaded. But obviously, she got too cold.
Fucked.
Yeah.
And then she went, you could die of cold. And then when they exhumed her, they cut her heart out.
fed it to people.
It ruined her plan.
Yeah.
So she could. Yeah. She would have been alive. She would have been fine. Yeah.
Her last words were, "Ah, no."
Yeah.
Did you say she was the original Vince Vaughn?
Yeah. She was a distant. She's like a long descendant of Vince Vaughn. He likes to prank people.
Yeah. Classic. Classic.
By pretending that he's a good guy and then he votes Trump.
I like the prankster idea. I think that the fact that she blew it. Yeah, she's like, this will be brilliant.
I think she's lying in her coffin, and she wakes up in a coffin, and she like didn't think this through.
Yeah. Oh. What about all those bells, though? I thought I'd be buried one of those.
They buried her with a bell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh no!
No!
Ah. Oh, and she's just shouting ding-a-ling-a-ling, and they were like, I'm perfectly pleasant.
What's happening here? My ding-a-ling, excuse me.
My ding-a-ling.
I think she... Although part of me wants to kind of... I like the storiness, the kind of fable of the vampirism. I think that's kind of fun. I like that everyone kind of ran with that pretty solidly.
Who said
to the point where they fucking cut out her heart.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And fed it to her brother.
To her own family.
I mean, that's another thing
as well. He kept it down, though.
To save his life.
He kept it down, unlike those lunatics down the rugby club.
Well, it turns out that burnt up heart grown together and mixed with water is not the cure for TB.
No.
Ah, shit. Well, at least they know now.
The idea of the doctor being like, okay, so we got some good news. We can cure you. We got some bad news. You got to drink your sister's heart.
Gimme.
And he was like, finally.
Well,
I bet he was like, oh, well, it is 1892. So.
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't invented the BCG
yet. They used to eat all kinds of crap, didn't they, in 1992?
I can't get the BCG at school, so give me that fucking heart.
Yeah. Put it in a glass, season it with rosemary.
I reckon it was a...
Ooh, tastes like pork.
That's how they talk. That was the Rhode Island accent.
Yeah, they were all British anyway.
They were the
It's lovely to be here.
I reckon she just fucked it, mate. She had the best of intentions and she blew it.
Yeah.
I'm with Jess on that.
I do have a theory. I've got a theory. It's gonna take a little longer to deliver than you guys because it's in the medium of song. Vampire capital of the states. On the map when Mercy Brown was rising from her grave, they dug her up to see if she was still alive. She'd moved, even though, like my Nan's kitchen, the coffin wasn't wide. My Nana's like a galley kitchen. It's narrow. It's too narrow for two people. Just ask my mum. People dying one by one. The hauntings were truly awful. The cure might have been to drink a pint of offal.
Thunderstorms are terrifying. Vampires are too. Nelly Vaughn was perfectly pleasant. She loved to fuck with you. Blood was fresh in Mercy's heart and also in her liver. Her hauntings were a curse. Her family would forgive her. I think I know what happened. And I can't be wrong because of feminism. These people imagined their rallies were back in a drinking game. It was Juliet Juice.
Yeah.
I'm with Jess on this.
Yeah.
It was Juliet Juice all along. Yeah. Vampires are real, but it was Juliet Juice.
Juliet Juice mixed with burnt up ash heart.
Yeah, burnt up ash heart. And they were like, drink it. Drinking game gone wrong. It's always a drinking game gone wrong. When
Good
will we learn?
New Zulu, where are we at?
That was frighteningly convincing.
That was
good. There we go.
That's the thing that gave me chills more than anything else in this episode.
Well, this song, was it when I went wrong? You were like, oh no!
Shit. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Thank you so much.
Anything to plug?
Anything you got?
I'm on tour. I don't know when this comes out, but basically, I'm doing my show called Hench all of 2020.
Yeah.
January at the Soho, and then on tour from February till
the end of time.
The end of June, yeah.
Check it out. Award nominated Hench.
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic.
You're my favourite. You should have won.
Nice.
Have you got to tour date in Crawley? It's near my house.
No, but Brighton.
Oh, that's near enough.
That's
I'll go there.
Closer now.
Yeah, and I'm in a venue that's way too big for me in Brighton.
Oh, I'll
so
bring my mum.
I'd pay you to come.
My mum's got a big love.
Now, Philip.
It won't be too big. You're going to be a hit sensation.
Where can we find all the stuff?
It's all on my website, jessicafosterq.com, and then click the bit that says my doings, and then it's where my gigs and not my shits are listed.
Nice. Rusty orange.
And you're on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff?
Yeah, yes. At Jessica Fosterq on all of that stuff.
Clever.
You,
we should have done it.
Oh, and I have a podcast too.
It's
all about eating called Hoovering. I'll plug that as well.
Thanks. Nice.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Do you ever do episodes on bread and olives? Because I've eaten all of that.
Also, some very exciting news from us.
Yes.
We have two live shows coming up in February, both the 9th and the 16th at the Bill Murray, 3 till 4 p.m. You can buy tickets now online.
It's £5.
Yes, £5. AgeofComedy.co.uk. You can also follow the podcast at Mystery on the Rocks with an X. And that's our Twitter as well, on Instagram and Twitter. Email us.
Yes, send us an email.
Yes, I read our fan mail, which was from September. So it was a nice little
We forgot
message.
To check our emails.
What? Yeah, yeah. Dude, I thought that was your job.
No, I...
yeah, we forgot to check
what
our emails.
What did they send?
They said they really...
Please help me, I'm dying.
I am perfectly pleasant.
They said they enjoy...
It's an email, it's a ding-a-ling.
They enjoy the show, they really, really like it. They can't wait for the next season, which is coming out very soon.
Yes.
It's pointless plugging the next season on this episode.
This is part of it.
started weeks ago.
Yes. So do please buy tickets for the live show. We'd love to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And please register to vote.
Please register to vote as well. That's very important. It might not be as fun, but it's your future.
Voting's fun.
Anything else from you guys? Did I get everything?
Succession's good. Watch that.
Yes, watch that on HBO. I've heard it's good, but
it's
gone off of Now TV. So if anyone can send me some illegal.
Go and watch Succession illegally.
That's fantastic. My just on my Instagram, just at masood.mylis, just send me the link to an illegal stream.
He never uses it, so I don't.
So I don't use it just to read messages.
Oh, look at me, I'm not on social media.
Right, that's it.
Bye.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You, everybody.
Bye. Thanks,
Jess.
Bye.
Yes,
thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.